So there it is, the one Latin word that over these now 4 weeks we are getting to the bottom of and knowing and understanding what was foundational to the Reformation and the truths that were welling to the surface and things that had gotten so muddled and mixed up. There were so many things that the church just would not leave alone. They kept tinkering with and adding to and subtracting from. And so here they are. Our Christian faith. That these are the things we hold alone. We don't add or subtract. We simply let them be what they are for us. Christ alone. That it is only sola in Christ. That we are saved by His life, death, resurrection. That this life is given to us, undeserved. It is all grace. God's goodness and gift given to you and to me. Grace alone. And last week, Pastor Mike, that these gifts preach, that these gifts come to us. They're received by faith alone. Not by anything we do or earn, but that we simply believe and trust that Jesus lived, died, rose for me. And my saving by God's grace is found there. And we trust that, faith alone. And this morning, Scripture alone. That these truths are revealed in God's Word alone. And that all of these things could be summed up. That all of what God has done for us is all to His glory alone. Soli Deo Gloria. So today, Scripture alone. God's Word gets to this Scripture alone, sola scriptura. With these words from Proverbs chapter 30. Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He will rebuke you and prove you a liar. You see, this kind of heart tug to see God's Word, to receive it, to look at it as it's revealed to us. Our heart's tug is just to add to it so that life can make more sense in the lane that we're running in. This is was happening even in Jesus' time. The Word made flesh, walking among people. Even then, God's Word was added to. We see this happening in the life of the Pharisees. Now, these guys, don't think that they were dismissive of God's Word, that they were ignorant of God's Word. They truly held God's Word in high esteem. They were devoted, especially to God's law. But they added to it. And one of the ways that they added to it was through tradition. Specifically in this idea of what was called korban. You see, korban would say, tradition would stipulate that if a person, if they would just give money to the temple, they didn't have to use their money to help their parents in their old age. See, there wasn't any kind of net to catch people financially as they got into those years where they couldn't work on their own. And so families had to take care of families. And God instructed all of that and honor your father and mother. But the Pharisees decided they wanted to be able to kind of wiggle around that to kind of boost the coffers in the temple. And so Jesus would address all of this in these words. Again, it's a picture of the danger of adding to God's Word and disregarding Scripture alone. That we don't add to it, we don't subtract from it, we let it speak its Word to our hearts. So here's Jesus addressing the Pharisees in this whole thing of Korban. Why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father and mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father and mother with it. And here it is. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Jesus was saying they were adding their kind of view of how this was all to play out so that tradition would take the same level and authority of God's Word, Scripture. And it undermined God's Word completely. So even Jesus appeals to the Pharisees, go back to Scripture alone. Don't add to it, not even your tradition. Which brings us now to our text that Matt read earlier. Now, Paul here is speaking into the lives of the church to say how important it is to understand God's Word alone. This is then how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. See, Paul, you know, believe it or not, Paul is speaking to a church that has some issues. Go figure. Bunch of people gathered together, all coming from different kinds of stuff, and there's some contention and conflict. It happens yet to this day. And so Paul is addressing a problem in the Corinthian church. It turns out they were fighting over who their favorite pastor is. Now, we don't have those issues here. We all know who your favorite pastor is. Pastor Lynn Witt. No, I'm teasing, right? Indeed, what a great man of God as he led this church. But they're fighting over, you know, whose word holds more place in their life. Some like Paul, some like Apollos. Apollos was a great preacher. He was vibrant and on point and interesting. Paul, scholarly, maybe a little too deep. And people were trying to kind of put them against each other. And just as a side note, I do think this is a great kind of place to just take a moment to thank God and appreciate the people put into our lives to help us with God's Word. On Pastor Appreciation Month, but we just don't want to limit it to us. What a gift to have two in this incredible office. But we also have many more gifted people that share God's Word and teach it to us. And all on our staff, Gus and the preschool staff and the deacons and deacons in training. And I mean, on and on and on. All the lay leaders that bring us God's Word. What a gift. And so, as we celebrate that gift, Paul wanted to just help them simply know that what we are is entrusted. It's been given. The mysteries of God have been given to us, revealed. So what's he talking about? God's Word, his revealed Word as mysteries. Well, there's a couple ways that we've come to know what these mysteries of God are. Certainly, as we see God reveal Himself, there are things that are a mystery to us. The Trinity reveals to us, God's Word reveals to us that God, there is one God revealed in three persons in one God. And you try to kind of work out all that math in your head, there's no way, it doesn't work. It remains a deep mystery, but this is how God reveals Himself. The other mystery is in the person of Jesus, that He has these two natures, that Jesus is 100% God in the fullness and power and all the attributes of God, 100% found in Jesus. But at the same time, He is 100% man. That He is in the flesh with human nature, 100%. This is not a 50-50 deal, half God, half man. He is 100% God, 100% man. And how those natures work together out for our saving and the complexities of that God would come in the flesh is an incredible mystery. Beautiful mystery in its depth and all of its truth. How about life eternal? We have a couple families that are dealing with the death of loved ones and the hope that we have that in Christ, when death comes, body in the ground, soul in heaven until the resurrection, when body, soul together for all eternity, and how the resurrection happens, reunited with God and all the saints for all eternity, new heaven, new earth. There's so much about heaven that we don't fully know or comprehend, nor can we. It's a mystery. It's a beautiful mystery. And the other way that the mysteries of God are revealed to us, that God's Word alone would help us see and know, is the way that He comes to us. That the God of all creation, the God that rescues and saves, comes in simple ways of water, connected with His Word in baptism, and saves. What a mystery. And that in simple things like bread and wine, that Jesus would say, in that bread and wine, there I am, body, blood for you. It's a mystery. God's Word filled with incredible beauty and mystery, revealing the depth and the glory and the majesty and the connection to our life in incredible ways. How many of you, when you see this, you start to sweat? You know, it's a little bit of a dreadful sight, right? This is when you go to the airport and you go to luggage. Any of you ever go on a trip and your luggage never shows up? You ever have you ever lived with that frustration? Oh my gosh, it's awful. And so when you finally see your luggage kind of rolling around on that rack, there is a sense of relief that comes, like, all of what you have for your journey is found in that stuff. Now, could you imagine if in the midst of your journey, you were to go pick up that luggage given to you there, ready for you to receive and to go on your journey and never open it up? You would just lug it around everywhere you go. It makes no sense. You would never do that. And so it is with God's Word that we are called to unpack and open up the incredible gift of God revealing Himself to you and to me. But so often in our journey in life, as we have God's Word, it can so get twisted around, because what we have a tendency to add is what we're dealing with in our own life and feelings, what's going on in here. And there becomes this tension. And Paul addresses this in his own life. That whatever's in his head and in his heart, if it doesn't square up with God's word, then he just sets it aside and lets God's word be unpacked for all of what it is. And all of his feelings and sense of what's right and what's wrong is set aside, and he lets God's word speak into his own life. So here it is, as 1 Corinthians continues. Now, it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. And I care very little if I am judged by you or any human court. Indeed, I don't even judge myself. My conscience is clear. But that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing appointed before the time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. What Paul is talking about is true to all of our life. Our heart, our conscience, our feelings, that can get all twisted around. This is worth, if you're taking notes, this is worth kind of noting and actually memorizing. It speaks an incredible truth. The heart is deceitful above all things. You know, so often we look at our life and we have this feeling in our heart when it comes to moral issues. And we're tempted to stray away from what God's word clearly states. But we feel that it's the best thing. It feels right in the depths of our heart. And so we set aside God's word and go with what's in our heart. That happens in our moral. It happens when we want to just kind of make our own lives, and we lie, and we know that that's wrong, but it makes sense for the moment, and so we abandon God's word, and we just kind of go with what feels right. But heed this warning: the heart is deceitful. And so we need the incredible clarity and truth of God's word, which brings us to this point. Now, brothers and sisters, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, don't go beyond what is written. Don't go beyond what is written. We don't add to God's word. We don't subtract from it. We don't let our heart and our feelings get muddled all up in it. There are times when we in our lives need the clarity of God's word spoken into our lives. And God's word alone restored that to God's people. And so in closing, let me just share with you three appeals to why it's so important for our life to understand this sola, Scripture alone. The first, Scripture alone for our lives prevents us from making God in our image, right? You know how this went. God in His goodness created us in His image, the perfect, all-wise, all-powerful, all-loving God shapes and forms us in His image. But as sin entered the world, we get that all twisted around, and we want to make God fit the way that we see things. And so we want to put God in our own image. But Scripture alone says, I'm going to submit my life to being shaped and formed and normed by God's Word, not my own image of how this is all supposed to play out. I think And this kind of hit me about how we have a tendency. This is Anne Lamott. Maybe she's familiar to you. She's an author, and she says this: "You can safely assume that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do." You know? Man, ouch. Yeah. We like to kind of... But Scripture alone says, my life under the authority of God's Word. I'm not going to put God in the... squeeze Him into my mold or image. It's the other way around. And Scripture alone helps us stay in that reality. Secondly, Scripture alone appeals to what is true to life because it is a definite gift of our perfect God. Our perfect God. Now, it's important to see God's Word as a definite. And it's a gift that God would reveal himself to us in such an incredible, personal way. And so He just opens Himself up to who He is and gifts us with that. And finally, we in the gospel reading, we had these guys in the midst of all the confusion, and the death of Jesus made no sense to them, and it was just perplexing, and many of us have lived through perplexing times where nothing quite seems, all the suffering, all the hurt, all the pain, it doesn't square up, and we're just like, we're left kind of walking along the way going, what is happening? And in Luke 24, Jesus walks along with these guys, and then He opens up Scripture. And He shows them from the very beginning all the way through how it all fits together in Him. That the key to understanding God's Word is found in Jesus. In fact, at the close of the Gospel of John, it would say this: these are written. Scriptures are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. What a gift to know the love of God in Jesus that brings life eternally. And then finally, no one in their right mind would make this stuff up, right? That God, the God of all creation, in all the power and might, would be born a little baby? That God would wrap Himself up in flesh and walk on this broken earth? And who would make that up? That God in the flesh would hang on a cross and die? You don't make this up. That the hero of all of life is crying out that he's been forsaken. And he breathes his last. And that this Jesus would rise again for all eternity and say to you and to me, that resurrection is just a foretaste, just a foretelling of your resurrection connected to Him. You can't make it up. We can't make it up because it's been revealed by God. It comes from God. It's Scripture alone. Which takes us to this incredible verse from 2 Timothy chapter 3. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. All Scripture inspired, coming from the breath of God, coming from the heart of God. And it is useful for your life and mine. What a promise. So let me make this challenge to you. For Monday through Friday, I want to challenge you just to open up God's Word and read it. Now, if that sounds intimidating to you, don't be. Just open up God's Word and read for 5 days. And let God reveal who He is in the midst of that Word. If you'd like if you need a little more structure than just open your Bible and read, let me share with you this. For the celebration of the year of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, there has been put together a reading plan for the God's Word, for scriptures, books in the Bible that really shaped Martin Luther in his life as he brought these truths to bear. It's called Crafted by Truth is the reading plan, and you can find it at YouVersion, YouVersion, version. YouVersion, Crafted by Truth, if you're taking notes. That's a great Bible plan. But let me close with this. I love this quote from Martin Luther. Let the man who would hear God speak read Holy Scripture. What a beautiful promise. How many of you have ever heard of these children books that you can purchase, and what you do is you press a button and you record your voice as you read, and then, say if you're a grandparent or if you're separated from your child or if your child just wants to open up, they can open up that book and hit the button and hear your voice read the book. Have you ever heard of those? It's incredible. I think that's just an incredible kind of thing. So words that are familiar, voices that are familiar, voices that are connected to life, grandparents that are, I mean, what a gift for the child to hear their loved one's voice read. I want you to keep that in mind, that every time we open up the book of the Bible, that you have a heavenly Father whose voice speaks to you, whose tender voice, whose firm voice, whose loving voice, whose corrective voice, voice of good news, it all speaks to you every time you open up its pages. What a gift. And so as we close this message, I want all of us to stand, and we're going to say these words of Scripture together. So let's stand up and close the message by reading together 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We say together, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And let me close with this prayer. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.